Okay, so this is going to be a second year summary of a project that the Southeastern Entomologists have been working on. So we've got a lot of collaborators on this, and this ranges from trials in Alabama up through Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. We've been doing identical trials actually on a number of different fronts, all looking at different ways that we can mitigate our thrips infestations. So we've seen a couple of thrips talks already, and in the Southeast we seem to have more than our fair share of thrips. And we get everything from just cosmetic damage to very definite economic impacts. Delayed maturity is very common in our untreated plots, and in some cases we do see some stand loss under really really tough conditions up in the northern part of the Southeast. The loss of aldicarb, of course, is driving our need for identifying alternatives that our growers can use. And we've shown pretty conclusively that our damage is much worse on conventional tillage in early planting windows. And so all of the work that I'll be showing today works underneath those conditions. If you look back at our historical data that's been presented at this conference, we've shown that neonic seed treatments are really inadequate in terms of preventing economic damage under those very high pressure windows where we're on conventional tillage and early on. But what I'll also say about that is we'll show that if you don't have a neonic seed treatment under there, it's really going to look bad. And so we're recommending to our growers that that's absolutely essential in everything that we do. And we've also shown that repeated foliar applications can lead to secondary pest outbreaks, and so we would like to avoid that if at all possible. And we think our best bet there is to limit our foliar insecticide applications to just one, so we want the best timing possible there. So the data that I'm going to talk about today are a number of different trials that we've put up to sort of evaluate different conditions here. One is the efficacy of different foliar insecticides. That's a pretty quick squirt and count thing, but we wanted to be able to identify different chemistries in addition to just acephate. And then look at reduced rates of our top performing. When we started this a couple years ago, we didn't really know what the registered rates were going to be for all the products. And then finally, we know that a fast-growing plant is less susceptible to thrips injury, and so we kind of said, what can we do to increase the speed that plant is going to be growing at? And that's where we identified pop-up or starter fertilizer, and I'll show you some data on that where we're using starter fertilizer in combination with a single shot of Orthene. In all of the trials, we've identified a number of response variables that we keep track of, and everything is very carefully choreographed across the belt. So we've got visual ratings at 14, 21, and 28 days after planting. For time of presentation today, I'm just going to concentrate on the 28-day counts or ratings. We've got adult and immature counts. And historically, what I've shown is that immatures really are the things that correlate best with the amount of damage that we see in there. Unfortunately, I don't have all of our immatures counted at this point, so I won't be showing that data today. Plant heights, as Jeremy had alluded to, the number of true leaves, and that kind of gives us an idea if we're seeing some delays in maturity, and dry plant biomass. If you think back to some talks that I've given in the past, Philip and I have shown some very strong data that shows that dry plant biomass at 42 days after planting very closely correlates with the number of immatures on the plants as well as the amount of biomass that the roots are out there. And so in previous presentations, we've shown very tight correlations with root biomass and shoot biomass, but of course the shoots are much easier to get at, so that's the response variable we've settled in on. Okay, so these are trials planted across five states. The data I'm going to show are summaries actually of all those. We all use the same seed. In the insecticide trials, for example, those were sprayed twice with high rates of the following products: Benivia, which is the cyazepyr molecule, dimethylate, karate, lanate, some of our standards, Orthene, Radiant, which is used quite a bit in the Mid-South, and Vitate that Jeremy just presented a lot on. In the starter fertilizer trials, we conducted trials under both irrigated and dryland conditions. And in those cases, they got no insecticide, a shot at first leaf or a shot at second leaf, and we looked at all those same response variables. Okay, so let's get into the data. The way these are set up, this is pretty straightforward. You've got your compounds on the bottom and the visual rating there on the left. In the case of visual ratings with those different products, as I mentioned, Benivia is a compound that's not labeled on cotton yet, but we've seen very good responses with it. So this is base fungicide treated seed only, no seed treatment on this trial. Two shots of each of these compounds at their highest labeled rate. What you see in the visual ratings, three is kind of what our benchmark for. We would like to see damage less than three. That's where we would initiate treatment from an extension standpoint. If you look across all the compounds there, the only one that scored less than three at this point in time was that Benivia molecule. And I would point out that acephate is our standard, and so we're slightly better than that. When you look at plant heights, quite a bit of variability in here, but the one that sticks out, of course, is the untreated, that we definitely are losing some plant height, and as we'll see, that follows through in terms of the plant biomass. So on the left here, we've got the number of true leaves. There are two treatments that really didn't hold up as well. That would be the karate, which is our pyrethroid, as well as the untreated. What I would point out from this is that last year we showed that the pyrethroid treatment actually scored worse than the untreated in a number of cases. And the data from this year, while it doesn't numerically look worse, it doesn't look any better statistically. So the data are very, very sound, even with 2 years across five locations, that the application of pyrethroids for thrips management is a bad idea. We seem to be knocking out all the beneficials, but we're not killing the thrips, and that's a bit of a problem if that's your target pest. In terms of the dry plant biomass, and this is the data point that I really am the most pleased with, you see very clear breaks in terms of what we're seeing from the pyrethroid and the untreated. Then our top performing products would be that Benivia molecule, as well as, you know, some of our more standards, Orthene, Radiance in there. That one broke out pretty well. In this particular trial, Vidate looked pretty good, but remember that's two shots of Vidate, which would not be the sort of thing that a grower would be looking at. And then when we get to yield, and I'll show you the yield data, but in a nutshell, I'm going to show the same thing Jeremy does, and that is yield is not a very good response variable to assess the effects of thrips, because all of the damage on thrips is very, very early, and you know these are trials that are conducted under good fertility, under irrigation, and so that plant has an amazing ability to compensate through the course of the year for whatever damage has been set back. But I'll sort of put the caveat in there that thrips are just one stressor on a plant, and all of these plots have been managed, you know, using extension recommendations. And so I wouldn't say to a grower that, well, you can compensate for thrips damage, because what you can't predict are things like rainfall, which is a stressor, nematodes, which is a stressor, plant fertility. You know, if you have a shortage of a certain nutrient, for example, if you've got nematodes in there. And so all of these stressors are cumulative, and what we would like to be able to do is minimize the ones that we can, and thrips are very definitely something that we can mitigate. Okay, in terms of the rate trials, the way we set this up is, of course, we have a base fungicide-treated treatment, and then we've got Cruiser, which is a straight neonic seed treatment, and then we've got the Cruiser-treated seed in addition to a single foliar spray on top of these. So this trial is a bit different in that we have a base neonic treatment on all of this, whereas the previous trial I did not. In the case of Radiant, the Dow label suggests that you apply that with an adjuvant, and so we've got it with and without an adjuvant to look for that potential benefit in that case. So these are all getting a single foliar application at what we think our optimal timing under ideal conditions is. So these are irrigated again, and we think that's at first true leaf. So that's a take-home I want you to remember from this, is that we think first true leaf is our ideal application under most conditions. When you look at the data here, these are visual ratings again. One of the take-homes here is that you notice that all of these treatments, with the exception of the base, are underneath that 3. So in the previous data, almost all of them were above the 3. We would have, extension-wise, we would have recommended treating that. In this case, we're all under that 3, and the difference is the base neonic seed treatment. So very strong evidence that that is the right recommendation for our growers, to be putting that neonic on it, and then this is supplementing the control that that provides us. These ratings, again, are at 28 days after planting, when the neonic is starting to lose some of its efficacy. In terms of the data that are here, our best-looking plants were in that Benivia. Now, 20.6 is probably going to be higher than what the label is, but when we started on this project a couple of years ago, we had to just come up with a rate, and that's where we started. If you look at the Radiant treatments here, you do see that we have better looking plants with the adjuvant, and that's a common theme that you're going to see in my data. It does appear with that particular molecule, we always see, or nearly always see, some benefit to applying that with the adjuvant. You look at the plant height data, these are marginally statistic, but you do see just numerically trends there when you use the adjuvant again, just a little bit slightly taller plants. Not a lot going on there, but these are kind of setting up for what we're going to see in terms of plant biomass. Here we go on that, actually non-statistical on this particular trial. But the numerical trends tend to hold similarly when you compare different response variables across there. Okay, in terms of number of true leaves, so this is really an assessment of how rapidly that plant is growing. You see that our strongest treatment there is the Bonivia at 20.6 ounces. The difference between the base untreated plant and our best treatment is about a half a leaf, but that's already setting us up for, you know, 3-4 day difference 28 days into the trial. And you see that there are, again, numerical trends that we see just a little bit ahead in terms of the maturity on the radiant treatments when you put that out with the adjuvant. Okay, and lint and yield, as I've mentioned, is going to be a very similar story. The plants tend to compensate under ideal conditions, so we don't see differences from a lint yield perspective on a simple insecticide trial. All right, the final data that I'm going to share this morning then are based on our starter fertilizer trials. The data that I'm showing here is the effect of irrigation. In each state, we had a dry land trial and a separate irrigated trial. So if you look at the plot on the left there, if you look on the x-axis on the bottom, I've got a starter 0, starter 1. Starter fertilizer would be obviously the incorporation of starter fertilizer, 10 gallons of 10-34-0 in a 2x2, so that's 2 inches under the furrow and 2 inches outside the furrow. We don't want to actually put our starter in the furrow. That would burn the plants. So we're putting it 2 inches below and 2 inches outside the furrow. Versus no starter, if you look farther to the right from that. And then the numbers 0, 1, and 2 are the timing of the single foliar application. So a starter 0 would be a treatment that got no foliar application of acephate. A starter 1 would be a treatment that got starter fertilizer plus acephate at first true leaf. And then obviously starter 2 would be acephate at second true leaf. And then we've got base fungicide treated seed versus cruiser treated seed. When you look at plant biomass, and so I'm going to show you just the real salient data on this because it gets pretty complicated to interpret. Starter fertilizer under irrigated conditions for the second year in a row has shown a benefit for us. Statistically, it breaks out. We have bigger, more robust plants when we give them that pop-up fertilizer. The best timing in terms of our foliar application shows up, that's statistically significant, as being at first true leaf. So we start setting up different conditions that really contribute to improving our thrips management. And then the final one there would be that seed treatment, and that's always highly significant. And I think that even holds whether we're on irrigated or dry land. So in this particular trial, for the second year in a row, starter fertilizer with a seed treatment and a foliar shot at first true leaf is my best treatment. And that's held up amazingly well. There's obviously going to be a little bit of oatmeal in some of these sorts of trials, but that's really held up well. Then if you move over to the dry land, we lose the benefit to the starter fertilizer. And I think what happens, and we've had very dry starts in Georgia, for example, if the conditions aren't optimal, you can't take advantage of all the things that are in the soil there. And it's the same as last year. We did not see a statistical advantage on dry land to the use of starter fertilizer. So it's just a little bit more of a low-yield environment. Very definitely, we see the impact of foliar treatments there. And again, first leaf is our best bet. Sometimes on dry land situations, I do see a little bit more benefit to the second leaf, but that's primarily because those plants are slower getting going. So if they're really growing rapidly, first leaf is by far your best bet. And then clearly a benefit to the seed treatment. Let's see. Okay, and then the final part that I'll put in here is soil type. I do soil cores on all of the places that we do our trials. I've got a condition where I can work on a very loamy sand. That's our sand silt clay composite there, 80% sand, 14% silt, and 6% clay, versus a sandy clomb oil soil that's 26% clay. And on that really heavy, that's a plains clay in Georgia, we don't see the benefit to the starter again. So on a really tight soil, it appears that the starter doesn't give you the benefit. Of course, on the sandy soil, we've talked about that, we really did see a benefit from that. All right, so we've got two molecules identified in addition to acephate that are consistently giving us very good results, Bonivia and Radiant, and that's given us similar levels of suppression to our standards. The pyrethroid, as we all knew, did not perform well, and we've really confirmed that. Generally speaking, plants that got two foliar applications didn't look as good as something with a neonic base by itself. And that's a take-home that I always want to leave with our growers. Bonibbia is one of our better looking compounds, but the rate that we use in some of that work was higher than it's going to be labeled at. So we've looked at lower rates, and at 13.6, it does still look pretty good. Radiant activity is complemented by an adjuvant, important take home there. And the foliar insecticide always improves the visual score over a seed treatment alone. The use of starter fertilizers appears to be most appropriate on sandy soils under irrigated conditions. No obvious benefit if we're working on dry land or heavy clay soils. So you look at the two-year summary on these. We do have different modes of action that we can use for thrips. We feel very confident that we've got things that we can give to our growers. The data support early application, first true leaf, and we need to be looking at economics on starter fertilizer. That's a question I've been getting. We'll be working on that. And from there, I would like to acknowledge a number of folks that work in the different labs, as well as our industry partners that really provide us products to facilitate this type of very comprehensive work. So I appreciate your attention.